I'm Hannika Fittman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vestazen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast!
Catherine Orchard, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Hannah.
How are you, Hannah?
I am very well. Thank you for not saying my surname, because you are obviously nervous about it.
Hannah van der Vestazen.
Oh my gosh, well done.
Thank you. No,
for God's sake, it's only a friendship of 9 years or something like that.
Oh, don't reveal how old we are.
We are about to reveal how old we are just a minute. Don't you worry
good.
About
it. I saw that on my... I was stalking my own IMDb because I was...
I love how much self-googling you do. It makes me so happy.
Oh my god!
One must.
Wait, I very rarely self-google.
I feel like we constantly talk about how you Google yourself.
No. The only reason I was looking on my IMDb is because I was cancelling my IMDb Pro, and I was like checking to see what would be lost.
Why are you cancelling your IMDb Pro?
Because it's a lot of money, and you know what? Life is short, and I had to pay so much money because I broke a drain. Anyway, we move. So. I was doing that and I saw that my age is like right at the top of the profile and I was like, I'm not that old. And then I realised I was. And it genuinely shocked me.
Well, my age is wrong on Google. It says that I'm 28. I'm not 28. I'm 27.
That is rude. So unfortunate.
It's so annoying.
Google has aged you.
I've emailed Google. I've emailed Wikipedia. I don't have Wikipedia, but like the equivalent. And no one is listening to me. I sent a picture with me next to my passport.
That's what you have to do, isn't it?
You could have gone in for fraud. Someone could have defrauded you with that.
Yeah.
But instead they've just made you older on Wikipedia.
One whole year older.
Outrageous.
Imagine if they just made you like 34.
Oh, that would be so annoying.
You'd be the hottest 34-year-old though.
Yeah, that's so true. Everyone would be like, cannot believe what
is her skincare regime?
What retinol is she using?
Yeah.
Guys, we're recording the podcast on Shrove Tuesday. What are we giving up for Lent?
Oh my god, we have to do that.
That's a thing, yeah.
That was a thing.
Oh, I totally forgot that was a thing.
I'm not a Christian. I'm sorry.
I'm a bad Christian.
Are you giving up anything?
Well, I was thinking I might actually ask the cards this question a little bit later.
Oh, very clever.
Oh, very good.
Because this is something that I've been contemplating. I don't know what I'm going to give up. If anything.
If anything at all.
So maybe we'll find out when we do that.
Is it, if you're not a Christian, is it a bit rude to be like, I'm going to give something up for Lent? Or
No, it's like you do you.
I think it's like avoiding Easter eggs at this point, isn't it? Oh, mind you, that actually has absolutely no biblical relation. But I feel like it's like participating on like Good Friday and
it's
only
like Christmas,
fish.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Good Friday, you're only meant to eat fish and not meant to eat meat?
Sorry.
I didn't know that. I'm sure I knew it once upon a time.
My grandma won't let us eat meat on Friday, on Good
really?
Friday.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like eating the body of Christ.
Is that what you're meant to do?
No, because he died for our sins on that day. For God's sake, Catherine.
I know, but I swear at church, they're like, you'd have some of Christ, have a body of Christ,
the body of Christ willy-nilly at church.
Christianity is super kinky, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the blood of Christ.
Yes, the blood of Christ, A.
All right, Angie.
B, the robes of all the priests are... so fantastic.
They have got nothing underneath that.
No, super nude.
They are very well ventilated.
Yeah. They are free as a bird.
Oh my words.
Okay, so we're bad Christians.
Yeah, that's a given. Okay, I'll leave out to the cards. I was going to say I'll give up TikTok, but like, come on. I'm so addicted.
You should give up TikTok. That's a good idea.
I hate how much you're encouraging me to do that because I don't want to. But it would probably be good for me.
What if it was like a Good Friday kind of vibe? So you only did TikTok on a Friday.
On a Good Friday. Yeah. Maybe I should do that.
That's every Friday fun. Is Good Friday.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the endorphins on Friday. Fuck me.
Also, good luck trying to make any sort of arrangement with me. Be like, yeah, go for a drink, can't TikTok day.
No. I actually realised how addicted I was to Instagram on Sunday because on Saturday night I had alcohol And Sunday, I was getting full shower scream vibes.
Oh, okay.
Just for anyone who doesn't know what that is, a shower scream is where you're really embarrassed about things that you've done or like any memories. And that can span from like something you did on Saturday when you were a bit pissed, or
something you did when you were two.
Yeah, when you like called your teacher mum in primary school.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And you just scream about it in the shower and get it all out your system.
When you called your teacher mum.
Which I do actually still feel so shower scream about.
Oh my God,
sorry, Miss Monca. So embarrassing. Everyone in the family did it because she was very similar vibes to my mum.
Really?
So, like, my brother called her mum, I called her mum, and then Ollie.
She was like, those three strange red-headed children calling me mum.
But yeah, I was shower screaming, and every time I had the urge to hide myself in a pit of never-ending doom slash shower scream, I reached for my phone to go on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You had no reason to shout and scream. You were an absolute delight on Saturday, just to clarify.
I know, but your brain will find anything to shower scream about.
I've decided...
Was there something specific that you were shower screaming about?
Every single thing I've ever done in my life.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's just called a hangover.
Yeah. Yes. They're hard.
They are. Well, Instagram and all social media, it's like a pacifier, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. It's yummy. So I'm bad for you, but it is yummy.
Not expecting that.
It's yummy.
It's yummy. Yummy.
It's tasty.
I probably should give it off if that's my reaction, guys.
Well, it's actually the devil card of you say that it's yummy.
Mm.
But we're going to get to the devil in just a minute. So, the tarot. It's mystery, it's allure, it's cryptic ways. Sounds sexy. Sounds like a fuckboy. Just kidding, the tarot is so much better than your average man-child. For those uninitiated folk out there, the tarot is a set of 78 cards historically used as a form of divination. Used correctly, it can hold up a mirror to one's life and help the seeker walk a path of better clarity and integrity. Today we are focusing on some of the more tricksy cards in the Major Arcana, which is a set of 21 cards within the tarot. Now, these cards usually depict a scene featuring a person or several people, with symbolic elements, many revolving around an archetype such as the Fool, the Emperor, and the Devil. But we'll get to them in a bit. First, I want to talk to you both about how you got into the tarot, because I know all three of us here love it. Kath, our resident witch, let's start with you.
Yes.
First off, by stating your soul card and your year card.
Okay, so my soul cards are the Magician, the Wheel of Fortune, and the Sun.
Ah, yes, that tracks.
What a delight.
So I'm having a return year as well.
Are you?
And my... this year, which for me always changes at my birthday, so it changes around the 21st of March, my birthday kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
I like feel a shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going from the moon year into a sun
year. Oh wow, what a lovely transition.
I know, I can't wait.
The complete opposite.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh. And you are in a sun year, you can feel it. You're a radiant ray of sunshine.
Yes. Yeah, exciting. So how did I get into the tarot?
Yeah.
So, when I was at drama school, I started going to meditate. So I was living in Hammersmith and I went to meditate in a yurt in Surrey.
Oh my God.
On every Wednesday night.
Classic.
And the person who did the ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
I'd like travel down after school every Wednesday for like an hour and a half.
What, to Banstead?
Further, to like the Surrey Hills. So
oh my God.
Almost to Sussex, ages. We get the train, we get picked up, we go to this yurt, and the person who held the circle would pull tarot. And I immediately was obsessed.
Yeah.
And they told me you can't buy your first deck, you have to be gifted your first deck.
Mm.
So I waited patiently until my birthday, and I got given two decks of Smith Rider Waite tarot.
Oh, classic.
Oh, two of the same.
Yeah, and one day apart, both. Because I was obsessed with that. I was talking about it all the time. I was just like, I loved it. So obviously more than one person was like, I'm going to get you your first deck. So I can't remember which person got me my first deck. Because I kept one of them and gave another one away. But yeah, I just completely fell in love with it. I thought it was the coolest thing in the entire world. Yeah. I got a tattoo of the Wheel of Fortune. So I got this tattoo. I knew I wanted a card and I didn't know what I wanted to get. And I just thought the Wheel of Fortune was fucking cool. Mm. So I booked in the summer for a tattoo in December.
Mm.
And I got the tattoo in between my... I wanted to get a tattoo for my grandparents. And there's 4 points on the Wheel of Fortune. Mm. My granddad died and then my grandma died. And slap bang in the middle was my tattoo that I'd booked months before. Mm. A year later, I found out about year soul cards, all of that. And I found out that my soul card was the Wheel of Fortune.
Wow.
And a year before, I'd already had it tattooed on my back.
Yeah, that is.
You knew.
It was wild. Like,
internally, you knew.
Yeah, it just like blew, it continues to and just blew me away again and again and again. Mm. It's fucking cool. I think everyone should get into it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Okay, Hannah, what is your soul card and your year card, and how did you get into the tarot?
So, I am, my soul card is, soul cards are the Emperor and Death. And
what a combination.
Oh no. Yeah. A heady mix. and I'm, my year cards are the Emperor and Death as well.
Wow.
So, big stuff going on. I got into the tarot because Kath, obviously, brought me into the cult, and I loved it. But I remember just being really drawn because I was filming season one of Winx, and buying a deck in that like really beautiful shop in Covent Garden.
Oh, Watkins.
Yeah,
is that the one?
The one like, that has loads of crystals, and it's like the mystical shop in Covent Garden.
Possibly Watkins, possibly the astrology store.
Oh, it's the astrology store. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
And I bought a witchy one and I didn't really understand it, but I was like doing everyone's tarot being like, well, let's read from the book and learn.
I remember that deck.
Yeah. It's a great deck. And then I fell really out of love with that particular deck because the Rider-Waite one is so evocative with its imagery. But I think it was like, you know, at first, it was a very good journey of being like, I really want to be able to like predict the future and feel really magical and mystical, and then it becoming a tool to just be like, oh, it's just checking in with yourself and what you already know.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially like asking more respectful questions and kind of like it's a really good tool for taking yourself on a journey of self-knowledge and like asking the correct questions about yourself and not putting it onto others and trying to figure out what other people are thinking in order to get the answers. It's been most useful as a tool for that. It's rather than, although I have had timings where cards have fallen out and then it's like given me a good warning and I've been like, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I love it.
It's good stuff.
Cool.
What about you, H?
Well, H, my soul card is the Hermit, but I think you can calculate my soul cards because I only ever think of it as one, but what?
The Hermit and the Moon.
That's so weird. I didn't know that the Moon was my other soul card, and the Moon has always kind of resonated with me and has been my favourite card in the way that the Wheel of Fortune has been yours.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then my year card is the Wheel of Fortune.
Nice.
Yeah.
Intense.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm really excited for this year. So how did I get into the tarot? Well, through Kath. I think we started doing like birth charts actually one time at yours alongside some cards. But I think we'd kind of all as a friendship group been dabbling in like oracle cards and tarot cards for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think 2019, 2020, we kind of got quite serious about it. I think 2019 Christmas, my partner bought me my first tarot deck, the Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck. And then I just became obsessed obsessed was redoing readings every single day, every morning, waking up, doing my morning pages, then journaling about the cards that I picked that day, and just through that constant like repetition, daily practice, just like got to know the cards really intimately. And then in the year of 2020, because I wasn't working as an actor, I decided to, because I'd kind of like got all this knowledge about the tarot, I started doing free tarot readings or donation based tarot readings for this East Southeast Asian WhatsApp group that I belong to. And then from that, because the response was really great, set up a little tarot business. And then it was really interesting because as soon as I commodified this thing that I loved, all of my passion for it just completely zapped from the process. And, you know, I was charging money for this thing, but it was so emotionally and spiritually exhausting. And I was like, I actually don't want to do this. I don't know how, because I know you, Kath, were doing readings.
I now, if I do a reading, will, if I do an astrology reading, will charge a small kind of fee for the time that it would take out of my like other jobs, but I don't want to get paid for it. Like, I think that there is so much power in having something that is just for you.
Totally.
And like, we live in this world that wants to commodify everything. And I remember sitting in Wandsworth Park with my friend Jules and saying, I don't think I can charge to read tarot. I just don't think I can do it.
And if I think if one does charge for tarot, you want to charge a lot of money because it is exhausting. And I understand why tarot readers charge, you know, like 200 quid for an hour and a half reading. Like, makes complete sense. Whereas before I was like, bloody hell, that's expensive.
I know.
Okay, so if you, dear listener, would like to find out where your cards are, you can do a simple calculation by adding up your birth date. There is so much online about it if you are curious. Okay, so, witches, are you ready to go into the magical, mystical world of fat? Of
fat lies. Of fat.
Of fuck tarot-y.
Fuck tarot-y.
I'm obsessed.
I don't think anyone in the history of the universe has ever said that word.
We're inventing so... We are Shakespeare.
Call me Shakespeare.
We are Shakespeare.
Shakespeare could never.
We did Snickerel. We've done Batometer. And now we're doing...
I can't even say it. Fucktarrowy.
Fucktarrowy.
So good.
The T is silent. The second T. Okay. First up...
Okay, then.
We have the Fool. Number zero of the major arcana. Okay, guys, if you could give me three instinctive words to describe the Fool, what would they be? Hannah, go.
Playful, youthful, joyous.
Thank you. Kath?
Brave, spontaneous, free.
Ooh! Ooh! Okay, I'm going to go. Egg, youth, jump.
Lovely.
Wonderful.
Okay, so in the Rider Waite Coleman Smith deck, we see a young person, let's call him a boy for the purposes of this podcast, dressed in a floral tunic and yellow tights, with a long red feather in his hair, a stick with a basket on the end, a white rose betwixt his thumb and forefinger, and a prancing white puppy at his feet.
So cute.
So cute.
It's like my dog.
Yeah. Behind him, a craggy mountainside juts out against the bright sun, its peaks and ridges a foreboding of what is to come. And on the boy's face, a look of youthful coquettishness, a raised chin, a sense of invincibility. We've all met that guy. Now, this Fool is way too close to the edge of the mountainside that he stands on. One more step and he falls to his death. But it is this sense of fearlessness that gives him the audacity to step blindly into the unknown. Now, in the tarot, the Fool is the beginning of a journey, the egg before it is fertilized, the first steps of a newborn, the promise of what could be. When read in a positive way, the Fool encourages you to take risks, to begin the long, hard journey of following the heart. The Fool as an energy is a youthful, unafraid vitality pushing you forward into the unknown. Not particularly prepared or experienced, hasn't quite got his wits about him, but has enthusiasm and arrogance to make up for it. Are we talking about a mystical hermetic symbol, or are we talking about a man-child? In case you're in any doubt of what a man-child is, we have prepared a definition from our book that we wrote back in 2020, which we will now read to you. Is he incapable of sticking to plans? Man-child. Does he make decisions based on what the lads will think? Man-child. Does he still wear Lynx Africa? Does he think a vulva is a type of car? You guessed it.
Man-child. The body of a man with the brain of a boy on the brink of his voice breaking. There is nothing less attractive than a partner who lusts after teenage years, romanticising 7-hour stone stints on Call of Duty and masturbating into unwashed socks.
Ew.
If he has an inability to have a serious conversation, sounds like Shaggy every time you ask him to take responsibility for something.
It was me.
Also uses Snapchat. He is likely a man-child. Hot and cold, cancelling plans, fear of commitment, all signs. Heed them and steer clear of the mental adolescence from the start.
However, not all man-children present themselves from the off. Occasionally we observe a Benjamin Button type effect. Once the oxytocin has worn off, the I want to hump you 24/7 hormone you get when you first start dating, and you're comfortable enough to fart in front of each other, the regression can begin. Whether it's something explicit, like comparing the number of blowjobs they get a week to how many their pal gets. Seriously, this happened to one of us. Or just slowly feeling like you're becoming a nag. It's worth checking in whether your partner's age is closer to their passport or their shoe size.
Okay, who are some good pop culture references for The Fool? Let's start with positive. Okay.
I just did one for each, and I did them all from one movie franchise.
Oh my god, I love this.
So for The Fool, I just chose Harry Potter.
Big Fool
so
energy.
All of mine.
Okay, yes.
Harry Potter. Big a Fool energy. Point.
Okay, because, yeah, Gryffindor is, like, just bludgeoning into the unknown.
Oh, yeah.
Fearless yeah. and daring.
And he's going to start, like, him at the start of the movies is
yeah.
The Fool.
Yes.
Goes on a big old journey.
Does not think first.
No.
Absolutely not a single thought before.
No.
Ever. So I have a few. Moana.
Yeah,
leaving home.
Yes.
Everyone else, no.
Oh my god, I just got a ping. Thingy from, oh my god, Into the Unknown, Into the Unknown. You know, the biggest Disney franchise since
Encanto.
No, Frozen.
From the first
Into
one.
Into the Unknown.
It's the second film.
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, guys,
one.
You gotta watch.
Yeah, have you sorry, seen I interrupted you. No, perfect. I think Disney has Big Fool energy.
Yeah.
Because you have to be the fool. They start the journey.
Yeah.
Right? They have to be. Aang from Avatar, The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. He's the last airbender, and he is just so fool-like. Like, just the epitome of youthful energy. And then Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Big Fool. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have Oliver Twist, Peter Pan,
yes.
Peter Pan is perfect for
Stitch in Lilo and Stitch. Yeah. Alice in Wonderland, yes. Ariel, Paddington.
I love Paddington.
Pippin in Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes.
He's the annoying one, right?
Yeah.
And the song Que Sera Sera.
Yes.
That's
so true.
Whatever will be, will be. okay, Dark Side of the Fool.
Sorry, I don't have one. I just did all Harry Potter franchise. Peter Pettigrew.
Yes.
Love that. Can you expand on it? No,
sorry. Oh my god, that was not me. I actually don't know why Peter Pettigrew.
Because he kind of just like...
Because he's a rat.
Follows around and he's a bit sneaky and evil. I don't know.
No, he's a bit too evil to be fool for me.
He's not very calculating, though.
I feel like Neville.
Neville. Although he's not dark. He's grey. No.
He's just a bit thick, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think the fool is
so harsh.
At the beginning, he is a bit
he
thick.
Kills he kills really Nagini.
Yeah, he has a redemption arc, but he starts out pretty...
He stands up to his friends and he gets 10 points.
Yeah.
Dumbledore.
He does. Okay, I take it back.
He's
I'm
just
sorry,
really
Neville.
Forgetful. I really, really, really relate to Neville's Rememberal.
Oh yeah,
where it turns red, and you're like, what
it's
have I
so
forgotten?
Stupid because it doesn't fucking tell you what you forgot.
Exactly. We've all been there, standing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What did I find?
When you've written like some sort of initial on your hand, you're like, I don't know what.
I thought a less good fool is probably someone like Iron Man. Do you know what I mean? Just like.
But he's so.
Mr. Narcissist.
Yeah, he's so emperor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what I was torn between. But then he is can be very man-childy at points.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was quite a.
What have you got, Hannah?
I've got royal princes. I just feel like all royal princes have real fool energy.
Yes, okay. Mm, I like that.
Vanessa Hudgens talking about COVID on Instagram Live.
Oh my god. And that other one, what was her name? Who said that poem to Vladimir Putin? The woman from 90210.
Oh no.
Yeah, so.
Wait, what?
She played Naomi in 90210. Yeah, and she did a poem being like, "Dear Vladimir Putin, I wish that I had been your mother, for I would have hugged you," and like all this weird stuff, and everyone was just tearing her to shreds, obviously.
Oh, no. Yeah, big full energy.
Big full energy.
All the characters Seth Rogen has ever played.
Yes.
And the smell of a group of year seven boys.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Super bad, big full energy, that whole film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I like this.
Very good.
Okay, so if you encounter the fool on your own hero's journey, I highly recommend stealing his cute puppy and then pushing him off that mountainside.
Sure. Mm.
So next up, we have the Emperor, number 4 in the Major Arcana. Again, what 3 words come to you when you think of the Emperor, Kath?
Stable for space.
Nice. Mm. Hannah?
Building stuff. Can I say 3 words that are 1 phrase?
Yes.
Big dick energy.
Love it. Thank you. Okay. 3 words for me. Daddy.
So you could get that one more time.
Did you say that again?
Daddy.
Oh, okay. Great.
Asshole. Control.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, this is my soul card. Thanks. Thank you so much, Annika.
Ruled by Aries. Okay.
Yeah, this is true.
Aries.
Ruled
by
Aries. That's why I'm like incredible, incredible, incredible.
Love that asshole energy.
Big asshole energy.
In the Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck, we see a man sitting on a stone throne adorned in ram heads. He is a white bearded bloke. Sheathed in a deep red cloak and tunic, with pointy steel armoured shoes on, a gold ruby encrusted crown on his large head, an ankh in his right hand. That's how you say it, right?
An ankh.
It is an ankh.
I believe so. Like the Egyptian symbol that Iris had.
Yeah.
I think it's an ankh.
Okay, an ankh.
But I definitely don't understand how to say words out loud.
Neither do I. It's so good we're doing a podcast. And a golden globe that looks a lot like a Cornish pasty in his left hand.
Yes.
It really does. Maybe it is. Behind him is a backdrop of red, again with the obligatory mountain range behind him.
Naturally.
Signifying all the land that he has won and conquered, the trials and tribulations he has faced to overpower them with his emperor ways. His face is focused and stern, but look a little closer and you may detect a sense of fear, insecurity even. His grip is a little too tight on that ankh, his man spread a little too wide on that throne of his. He's a structure-loving, controlling, land-grabbing lunatic.
Allow it!
Let's just say, if this was a modern tarot card, you'd see him riding a souped-up Ferrari, stinking of cologne and self-absorption. As they say, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Mm. Sure, it might be with the gold, but it also might be the big-headed ego weighing this emperor down. Now, in a positive reading, the emperor encourages you to take up space, to be the figure of authority in your life. To take life by its ram horns and ram it with everything you've got. Are we talking about mystical ancient knowledge? Or that time I ended up in bed with a Mr. Narcissist? In case you're in any doubt of how a Mr. Narcissist might be detected, take notes, because these are our top tips on how to spot these nasty nincompoops. Okay, take it away.
He'll have perfectly coiffed hair that he will touch a lot.
A lot, a lot. If he has social media, which he will, there will be lots of photos of him, either A, shirtless, or B, doing some kind of aggressive manly man pose that he thinks makes him look fierce.
Other posts on social media will be of him, A, saying something impressive, B, doing something impressive, or C, hanging out with someone impressive.
When said impressive person isn't on social media, the narcissist will hashtag their name, just so everyone knows that that guy in the baseball cap looking distinctly put out is that dude from Spider-Man.
They act like they know everything, even though they can't find your clitoris.
They dominate all situations, bedroom, boardroom, you name it.
They place themselves in a position of power in order to play God.
And they bask in the glory of others in order to get their vitamin dickhead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, pop culture refs for emperor. Positives. I've got Barack Obama, Queen Nzinga, Javier Bardem, President Zelensky, the song I Did It My Way, Oprah, Gwyneth Paltrow's wellness brand Goop, which is kind of in between a pro and a con.
No, I would say that is absolutely a con.
Oh my God, do you think?
Absolutely.
I think it's in that weird grey area. It's like, is this good or is this awful?
I vote awful.
Okay. And then highways.
Highways, agreed. Highways.
Love it.
Highways,
yeah. They're just like, look, I'm here now. Deal with it.
Yeah, I'm getting you from A to B. I'm not pretty, but I'm very convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bit like me.
I'm doing the work.
I relate. That is my soul card.
Mine is, okay, I've only done one because it's a very specific one. Mulan, at the end, when she makes the decision to go and help.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a big emperor decision for me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And also the emperor in Mulan is a very positive emperor.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
Guardian kind of energy. Yeah, love that.
I'm lazy, so I just said Dumbledore.
That's not lazy. Great. That is pure emperor energy.
Mm. Yeah. Because I also think the emperor can be negative and as can Dumbledore.
As can Dumbledore. Mm. As can Dumbledore. Mm.
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Okay, next. I've got Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Putin, obviously. Voldemort, Jeff Bezos, deforestation, just as a thing, borders, and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oil companies. Mm-hmm. Horrible, 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 horrible. The baddie in Mulan, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awful, awful.
Scary.
That leader of the Huns, isn't he?
Yeah.
Attila the Hun. Big emperor energy.
Mm. Mm. I feel like everyone who's on Love is Blind, who thinks that they're hot shit, is bad version of the emperor. Everyone who works in like tech or a startup,
ew, yeah,
in Love is Blind.
Yes.
Oh yeah, but they're also a little bit like pick me pathetic.
Yeah, they are a bit more pathetic. Mm, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I do love that.
Okay. So if you find yourself besieged by the ego of an emperor, remember there can only be one ruler in your kingdom, and that's you, queen.
Beautiful, beautiful. I want that as my alarm.
I love
every morning.
That.
Thank you.
We have had the fool, aka Manchild. We've had the emperor, aka Mr. Narcissist. And now we have the devil himself, Beelzebub.
Beelzebub.
What three words would you use to describe this card, Kath?
Hedonism.
Oh, beautiful.
Passion. Ruckusness.
Oh, yes.
I love that.
Hannah?
Okay. Kinky.
Yeah.
I would say something like malcoping mechanism.
Yeah.
And temptation.
Mm.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, I'm going to go with addiction. Sexy. And kink.
Yeah.
Okay, so the devil. In the Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck, we see a giant goat man with bat wings and a beer belly squatting on a black plinth, his clawed feet digging into his throne on which there is a thick silver hoop. Attached to this is a naked man and a woman, shackled by chains around their necks. Mm. Side note, for some reason, neither of them have pubic hair. I guess that's the kind of bullshit the devil demands of you.
Mm-hmm.
They both have tails, The woman, a tale of what looks like a bushel of grapes. And the man, a tale of fire. Would you rather have a tale of a bushel of grapes or a tale of fire?
So every time you eat the grapes, do they grow back?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, convenient.
A tale.
Snap.
Yeah. Oh, fire.
Really?
Yeah,
but that would be so inconvenient. Classic Aries.
Yeah. It'd be awful. You'd have to be followed around with a shh thing.
No. You'd have to wear flame retardant
clothing. You'd have to have a flame retardant sofa. You'd have to be followed around with a fire extinguisher just in case.
No one would allow you into the clubs.
It would be.
But if someone went, does anyone have a light?
Yes!
Oh my God.
And your tail just
fits.
You could date, what is it called, pyromaniacs?
I think I'd want a long tail though, and only the end was lit.
Oh yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah,
that would be lit.
But that is, but the thing is, that is not the deal you made with
no,
the
okay, devil. Then I'd choose grapes.
Sorry.
Trying to make my own rules.
Okay, so, the devil is brand...
What would you rather?
Oh, grapes.
Okay.
Duh.
Grapes, you damn fool.
You moron. The devil is brandishing a flaming torch in his left hand. His right is raised with the glyph of the planet Saturn. That was the noise of us holding up our right hand. The planet of deep change and misfortune. Upon the dirty D's furrowed brow is an upside down pentagram. Now, an upright pentagram usually represents a human standing, with the head as the top triangle, but when the pentagram is reversed, the genitals are where the head is meant to be, mm-hmm. indicating that the genital, sex, and base passion rule the devil. Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
The backdrop is a pitch black, begging the question, are we in hell, or are we in an emo version of Christian Grey's Red Room?
Morning.
One might argue they're one and the same.
Yeah.
The devil, when read positively in a reading, is that last shot of vodka that gets you up and grinding on the dance floor. That back alley Soho sex shop that sells the kind of toys you've only dreamed of.
Mm.
That buzz you get from stealing the last biscuit when no one is watching. The devil is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Too much of it and you are in hell. Just the right amount and you are in heaven.
Mm.
Look, there is nothing wrong with experimenting with whips and chains and fire and harmless satanic ritual. But as we all know, fire is all fun and games until you get third degree burns. The devil is horned and he is horny. He will lure you in with his sexy fallen angel act, then shackle you to his plinth for eternity and have his wicked way with you.
Mm.
Hmm. Are we talking about a 15th century Kabbalistic Western mystery tradition? Or did someone say Dick Tonight, aka Ultimate Fuckboy?
Obsessed with these!
I love it. Well done. That is just wonderful stuff.
Oh, it's so good.
In case you're in any doubt of what an ultimate fuckboy is, we have prepared a definition for you. It goes a little like this.
The ultimate fuckboy has all the mystery that any modern man needs. He's an avid feminist. Practices fucking yoga. He wakes up at 5 a.m. and does cold swims. He even likes acai bowls.
Remember? You wrote this, Gav.
He even likes acai. Remember when that was a thing before we all stopped pretending to like it? This guy has his shit together. He's even chill with your toys and fantasies. And doesn't see them as some weird manic pixie thing.
He'll tie you up and he'll be into it, but not too into it, like... in a good way, not a weird way. This is so gaslighting.
So in my brain.
Like into it, but in a weird way, but not in a weird way.
My brain is fucked.
I actually did edit this. And I was like, this kind of doesn't make any sense.
It's so manic. Why am I so manic?
I love it.
There's a wild streak in him. You aren't sure what he's thinking. You don't know where you stand. But it's so fucking sexy. His life's a blur, and so is yours. And you want to blur together in a mad, chaotic rush of well-lubricated wonderment.
The ultimate fuckboy is to die for in the bedroom. But don't let that roleplay become a reality. Because this brand of fuckboy doesn't know the difference. They've got you all tied up, and not just in the bedroom. They are masters of manipulation, and they bluff so well that we think they always have the best hand in the deck. On the surface, they have treated you well, just like they treated their crazy ex well. And before you know it, you're in the pits of hell, tightening those chains yourself, because as he so eloquently put it, you know what's good for you, baby. It's dark down there, but there is always a way out.
Your intuition is the greatest gift you will ever have. Spot his true colours early, spot them late. Forgive yourself if you haven't spotted them yet. But know that no matter what, no one can take away what's yours. That flutter in your loins that calls not for him, but for freedom.
Ooh, very good.
Love that.
That's very devil to me.
Yeah.
That's so devil to me.
Okay, pop culture refs, Hannah.
Obviously, I've only done one.
I mean, the Harry Potter ref.
The Harry Potter reference. I actually said Tom Riddle, but yeah. I now think that the Philosopher's Stone is quite the devil. Like, as in the way that it makes people behave, and, like, it could be this, like, force for good, like, getting to live for, like, a longer lifetime, really exciting, but people just get really out of control with
totally.
It.
Totally. And the Deathly Hallows as well, the Elder One.
The Elder One, that
and
is...
the Resurrection Stone.
So
and the Invisibility
good.
Cloak.
That's the brothers are very, like,
yeah,
full devil emperor kind of vibes.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, the three brothers. Mm. So mine were Jessica Rabbit.
Oh gosh, so fit.
Right? Like, you can't be a sex symbol and not be a bit devil.
Yeah.
Saturn, obviously, the whole mythology of Saturn. And then what is the film with the little kid in the pants with the bear and the snake?
Oh, the Jungle Book.
The Mowgli. Jungle Book, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
The snake in that.
The snake in that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That temptation.
Yes.
And he, like, really manages to play on all of, like, Mowgli's... He just, like, gets pinpoints into that tiny little opening and just gets in there.
Snakes in general.
Snakes in general.
Yeah. Well, famously, the biblical
one
himself.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, I have Peaches, the singer, not the fruit.
But maybe the fruit.
But also the fruit in Sexy Call Me By Fruit. Your Name.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh my God, yeah. That peach in Call Me By Your Name,
Dieter Von Teese.
Yes. Yeah.
BDSM.
Yeah.
Burgine.
Oh, yeah.
Catherine Orchard's nipple piercing.
Yes.
Rage Against the Machine. Slipknot. True Blood, the TV series. True Blood's theme tune.
Oh my God, True Blood's
things.
So... Yes! Yeah. And just the whole of the theme credit. Just everything going on in there. When they're, like, baptising them in this... Oh,
and there's, like, a white snake in the blood and
incredible.
All of that. Pussy Riot.
Yes.
Miranda Priestley.
Oh, yes.
Latex, PVC, and Mezcal Tequila.
I love it. Mm.
Negs?
My negatives were...
Mowgli the Snake.
Okay. Yeah. I've got Charles Manson.
Oh.
Marilyn Manson. Social Media. Dracula. The Marquis de Sade.
Yeah.
Oof. Terrible bloke. OxyContin. Basically anything addictive. And my relationship with online shopping.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, if you're dancing with the devil, I suggest unshackling yourself from his pervy purgatory and finding yourself some kink without the goat stink.
Oh.
Okay, seeing as we can't do any scenes for this episode, I thought we'd do something else instead. Okay, my loves, we are going to do a tarot reading circle, a bit like a massage circle, but with tarot.
Mm.
So, think of a question you'd like answered, and the person next to you going anti-clockwise... we'll endeavour to answer it.
If I'm going to give up my hardcore TikTok addiction, what is the strength I have to pull upon? Yeah, the medicine.
Ooh, you have one of the major arcana cards.
Ooh.
Temperance.
Balance, baby.
Balance, baby.
We all know that I'm no good at cold turkey.
One foot in the waters, one foot on the earth. You need to find balance within yourself.
Ew, I just want to go on TikTok all day though. No, I'm kidding.
This is one of the cards that is like the most rich in symbolism. So if you can see in the background, you have the craggy mountainside, which seemingly every major arcana has. And there's a long path that you need to take in order to get to the place where you can find balance. But you
40 days and 40 nights worth of...
exactly. And then on Good Friday, you can...
Great.
Do that TikTok. Okay, so Temperance.
Delightful, thank you.
I love that.
Catherine, are you up next?
What do I need to know?
What do you need to know? Tell you what, let the tarot answer.
I tell you what, why don't we let the tarot answer this one, obviously.
Oh, you also got Major Arcana. Interesting.
Open-ended question.
You got Judgment.
Ooh, lovely. Somebody get a trumpet, start playing it to me, yeah. And I'll take my clothes off and start the dance.
Yeah, let's all get in our coffins and then nudie.
Fuck, that is deep.
What did I ask? What?
Judgment is probably one of the cards that I find most confusing.
It is discombobulating, isn't it?
Yes.
Judgment. It's a big one.
Wait, what was your question, Kat?
What was my question?
What do you need to know?
I need to know judgment.
You need to wake up and smell the daisies, baby.
I need to know judgment. What's judgment for you?
Can I see the card? I think it's like really celebratory. If you look at the people in the cards, they're not cowering in fear. They're opening.
They're smiling.
Yeah. They're smiling.
Okay.
It's a beautiful card. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Hanako. I'm grateful.
What do I need to focus on for Lent?
Fodder days and fodder nights
while Jesus was walking in the desert. The High Priestess! Guys, we all got Major Arcana, that's wild.
Yeah. Wait, what did you get?
I got Temperance, obviously.
I love it. High Priestess, what do you need to give up for Lent? Give up?
What do I need to focus on?
Whenever I get the High Priestess, it's like switch off from the external and focus on your internal. It's very give up TikTok energy, the High Priestess, in a way.
Or maybe it's just like give up pomegranates. I love pomegranates.
Well, no, I think it's very Persephone in the underworld.
Yeah.
It's very like digging deep.
Dig deep.
Yeah. Mm. I love the High Priestess.
There's such a cocooning that happens in the High Priestess. And like this like birthing that happens then when you come into the Empress. I love it. It's quite a balanced card, I think.
To me, she's like the great mystery because she stood there in all her kind of queen-like authority, but what is hiding behind that curtain? Like, what happens when you step over the threshold?
Yeah. But it's very safe. I think it's very safe. It's very personal.
I think it's safe, but I think it's not easy.
No. But it's to face yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, like, where you facing yourself should be the safest thing in the world because the only person that you have to contend with is yourself.
Totally. So and it can so be scary, possible. But, yeah. You know, but you have those depths time in the are world. Your depths. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So fun.
Cool cards.
Cool cards all round. Yay. I can't believe we all got Major Arcana. That's crazy.
And one for us, Knight of Wands.
Oh, I love the night one.
Lovely work, Hannah.
Yay!
Thank you. That was so fun. Something a little different for the podcast, but I know that we all feel passionate about the tarot, so it was nice to go into it with you guys.
Links for all of our resources are in the show notes, so please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the mystical fuckers of the tarot to the bride-searching bachelors of Love is Blind.
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own listener story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions on our website at www.fboypodcast.com or slide into our DMs.
Yes, and you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Shane, Shayna and Shake.
We're coming for you.